minister, however the Holy Spirit will direct you here this evening.
Thank you, Brother Mel. It's really good to be with you and all of you together this evening. He suggested I might be a teacher, which is what I'm comfortable in. So I'm out of my comfort zone tonight, because as I was seeking the Lord said, this is not an informational meeting. So I don't have PowerPoint, which I normally would. Do you have a brief outline that we handed out? And I have lots of notes, because I don't go anywhere without notes. But I believe that tonight God just wants us to talk about something. And I first want to just say that I'm a learner. That's how I would say. I'm not a teacher tonight. I'm not a prophet. I'm here as a learner, and I hope that I can facilitate your learning as well. And I want your involvement. We'll give you a couple opportunities to do some activation tonight. But I believe that God is doing something that I haven't quite got a handle on, but I want to give you what I'm processing. And so if you came here looking for a nice little handout, you don't have it tonight. I'll just tell you that. But I believe that God is doing something in the church, not only your church here, but I think in the church in general, that we need to just listen to. The Jesus said over and over, listen to what the Spirit is saying. So that's what I want us to do tonight, is to be listeners, to be learners together. And so let's just invite the Holy Spirit to be here. Father, thank you that you send your Spirit and bring healing. You send your word and you deliver us from everything that troubles us. And Lord, I believe that you are sending your word to us tonight. And Father, I pray that you would enable us to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church. Father, it's something that all of us need to embrace. And to love you, to discover new and powerful ways to be your people. So tonight, Lord, I ask and just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would come and teach us, be our teacher, guide us, be the one who facilitates our thinking, our being together. So we just pray this in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise and honor. And just thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So I want us to talk about being a prophetic people. What does that mean? Well, it probably means way more than we can talk about tonight. But I believe that the church is prophetic by nature. If you... And I don't want to do a whole history, but let me just give you very briefly. If you look at the Bible from the very beginning, God's a communicator, and he communicates to people. The whole Bible, from beginning to end, is God speaking to people. So I want us to recognize that God is continually speaking, and every story in the Bible, essentially, is about how God spoke to people. People either obeyed or disobeyed. If you look at the patriarchs, you have wonderful stories of people who heard God, who responded. And the patriarchs are called prophets. You have God coming to the nation of Israel after he delivered them from Egypt. And if you read the book of Exodus, one of the things you hear is God saying, then they will know, or you will know that I am God. Okay, that phrase is something we should pay attention to, because it happens in Exodus over and over. God wants the people of Egypt to know that he's God. Then when they come out of Egypt, they're in Mount Sinai, and God comes to them and says, okay, You saw what I did there. You saw what I, how I performed. Now, if you will just listen to me, listen to my voice and obey me, then you're going to be a special people. I'm going to put you above everyone else. And the people say, well, wait a minute. Moses, you talk to us. You go talk to God. We don't want to hear God directly. I think that's one of the big problems in the Old Testament. You go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, hey, guys, you know, God didn't want your sacrifices. He didn't want all this stuff. He wanted you to hear his voice and obey him. When you come to the New Testament, Jesus constantly talking about hearing from his Father and obeying the Father, this kind of relationship. So I think there's some things happening in the church that I can't really well tell you, but I have this feeling. One, I believe that God is wanting us to be a relational people. I think that's true for our relationship with a father. I think that's pretty obvious that he wants us to be a relational people. But I think it's also true that he wants us to be relational with the world in ways that we have never been. This is not criticism. We're celebrating the Reformation, 500 years. And the Reformation has done a great job. If you go any place in the world and you say, well, how are you saved? Almost everybody will say, well, we're saved because Jesus died on the cross. And the blood shed on the cross is what gives us access to the Father. We have taught that. We know that very well. We know that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have taught that. We have preached that. And one of the things I think we need to understand is that is not wrong. That's the entrance point into the kingdom. That's how you get into kingdom. You believe on Jesus. You believe he's the Son of God. You believe he died for you. You believe that the blood covers your sin. That's how you get into the kingdom. But what we haven't done a good job at is teaching people how to live in the kingdom. Does that make sense? Okay, so what I'm saying is not that anything's wrong. I'm not saying anything wrong's about the Reformation. All I think is what the Holy Spirit wants us to learn is how to live in the kingdom, how to be relational in the kingdom, and I think how to be a prophetic people, how to look at people and see their sin, but not respond to it. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that when you look at somebody, you don't discern that something's wrong with them. Discernment is something we need to understand that's a fact of life. But we're pretty good at that. We're good at discerning people's sin. What we probably aren't good at is discerning the purposes of God for people. So the way I see this is if you go back to Genesis chapter 3 and the tree of good and evil, we have learned how to discern good and evil. There's nothing wrong with that. That's necessary. But we haven't done a good enough job to discern the purposes of God, the plans of God for people. Okay? And to say, okay, yes, they have fallen. Yes, they have sinned. But what is God wanting to work out in their life? Okay, if you take any person, whether they have sinned greatly or, you know, when we say minor, we're talking about from our perspective, sin is sin. But we often don't see and speak into people's lives. We may have a child, we may have a relative who has just really gone away from God, and we can see their sin, we can pray for their salvation. But oftentimes, we don't give them hope for the future. We don't help them see what God has for them or what would be God's purposes for them. I want to read just, you all know the verse in Romans, but we've all fallen short of the glory of God. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 2, and we could spend the whole night in this chapter, but verse 10 says this, "For it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things are created, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of salvation perfect through sufferings." I want you to see that phrase, bringing many sons to glory. So God's intention in sending Jesus is not just that we could be forgiven. Yes, that's the necessary entrance point. That's how our relationship is restored. But his ultimate purpose is not just to forgive us so we get into heaven. And I don't want to diminish that in any way. When I get to heaven, I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, for getting me here. Okay? But his ultimate purpose is to bring many sons to glory so that God's glory, his purposes are revealed in them and in each of us. Now, here's the thing. I believe the prophetic is a way of bringing or God trying to urge and give us purpose. I think when prophetic words are given to them, to us, they come as a way to encourage us to walk into God's purposes, God's plans for us. And we often see how the prophetic has messed up. And now here's the thing again. We often discern what's wrong with the prophetic. Now, you probably have, even yourself, you probably had ideas that you think, oh, this is what God's telling me to do. You've done it. It didn't work out as you planned. He said, boy, I blew that. Have you ever done that? Okay. So then what we do, we sort of shy away from the prophetic because we don't want to take that risk. And all I'm saying is that there is always a risk when we hear God's voice. The reason for this is very simple. It's just complex. Okay. So we are spirit. God is spirit. He speaks to our spirit. It has to be translated into our soul. And oftentimes, rather than understanding that God is good all the time and that we can relax and hear God in our spirit, we often, as it translates into our soul, it gets sort of mixed up. And then it gets confused. And when it comes out, it's not clear. So I think what we have to do is not to distrust the prophetic. Think what God is saying to us. You need to develop pure hearts. You need to work at getting your conscience cleansed, your hearts pure. And the clearer you are before God, the clearer your prophetic stream will be, the flow will be. And so what I would say is, yes, we need to be discerning. The Bible says we need to judge every word, but it says hold on to the good. Okay, so hold on to the good. What do you do with the bad? Well, you discard that. Okay, you don't get angry about it. You don't say, we're not going to do that again. You just learn that you test everything that you hear, whether this is personally in hearing God's voice or in the prophetic. You learn to test it. You learn to hold on to the good. You let go of anything that's not good. Okay, so I just want to encourage us to really desire the prophetic. That's what tonight I think is all about. Let me read 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. If you have your Bibles, you can just turn there. I'm really just sort of trying to take that word desire and what the Bible says, eagerly desire the prophetic, and just work on that tonight. So 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5, you probably know this very well, but it's follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Okay, let me read that again. Follow the way of love, eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, in other words, it's saying all the gifts, desire all them, but it puts an emphasis on prophecy, then gives a little explanation. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Notice, speaking in tongues, it's a spirit language. Verse 3, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. So the purpose here of the gifts in this passage is that the church would be edified, that we would be encouraged, we'd be comforted, we'd be built up by the Spirit. And I think we often intellectualize this and say, well, we have God's Word. We have the teaching of God's Word. That builds us up by His Word. And we are satisfied with the Word of God as we have it in Scripture. And I want to say, that's God's Word. There's way more in Scripture than you and I will ever cover in our lifetime, probably. Okay? There's a lot to learn there. But I believe that we are fundamentally a prophetic people. In other words, God's design for us, the way He designed us, we have a spirit. I believe that's not just, well, that's the part that gets eternal life. You know, your body's not important. Your soul, that's who you are, but really it's the spirit that's going to last forever. No, I think all three of them are designed to work together, body, soul, and spirit. And I think it's really critical that we learn that God's pleasure, God's design, is that you and I hear in our spirit and are able to speak out for others. And I think there's reasons why God designed us both for the church and for unbelievers. And we probably won't touch on the unbelievers tonight, but we'll talk more about who we are as a church and just being a prophetic people. So now, if you have any questions, don't wait. Just ask them, because I don't really have an agenda other than just to say I'm here to encourage you to desire the prophetic and to relax about it, to anticipate it, to believe that it's something God wants to happen. And I believe, for 10, 11 years, I've thought about what should the church look like. And we do all kinds of things in terms of decor and all that and worship. I believe that one of the things that God wants to do is to make us a prophetic people. Now, how that looks, I'm not here to tell you. All I'm saying is I believe that God's heart for His church is that we'd be a prophetic people. And I don't think we have really grown into that. And we've gone through a season where there's been a lot of sort of weird things have happened. And a lot of people have said, well, we don't want the gifts to happen Sunday morning. All I'm saying is I believe that however it works out, God wants us to be a prophetic people. Now, I believe that one thing that's happening in our culture is there is a huge identity crisis. And you can see this, I mean, the most obvious is in the sexual identity issues. I mean, they're just all over the place. But they're also, I think it's something that Satan has sort of entered in and help us to be confused in this area. And I think God wants us to be very clear about our identity, who we are. We're children of God. We're made in His image. I believe that evil is a frustration or a violation of God's purposes for us. Does that make sense? So God, I think, in the prophetic is always calling us to His purpose, His plan for us. And so one of the things that the prophetic does is it comes along and it helps us be very clear on God's purpose for us, God's plans. It often gives us direction and insight. There's a whole variety of things, but I believe one of the things the prophetic does and will do is to really clarify our identity, who we are, and what His call upon our life is. Our calling is what gives us identity. And the Bible is very clear that His call for each of us is that we'd be His children. Mm-hmm. We'd be identified as His own. And that He would bring us back to glory, His original intended purpose. So I think that's what God is doing in your life. No matter what our age is, no matter what our gifting is, what our anointing level is, I think God's call is always to bring us back to who we are. And I just, whether you get anything out of this tonight or not, really, is perfectly fine with me. I've already got some stuff. Okay, God's just been reaffirming stuff in my life, so I'm just pretty relaxed tonight and saying, yeah, I've already benefited probably way more than you will. And I find that just in several ways, God's just been blessing me. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, I met a guy who is a pastor of Brother in Christ Church that I had recruited. And we were in a restaurant. He came up to me and he says, hey, he said, I just signed my 4th 5-year contract. And he says, I just want you to know that I've been offered other jobs, but I stayed where I'm at and I re-signed because I believe this is where God's called me. He said, do you remember back 15 years ago? And I go, yeah. And he says, you called me. He was in Canada. He's a youth pastor in Canada. I called him up and I talked to him about a church here and invited him to come. And he goes, no way. I'm not going to the U.S. I don't want anything to do with it. Forget that. But I just sense this is what God's call is for him. Now, how do I know that? It's just internal stuff. I don't know how to explain this. And see, if I was a teacher, I'd be able to say, oh, step one, step two, step three. All I'm saying is this is what's happened. But a month later, I just had this sense that this was the person God had for His church in Cumberland County. So I call him up again, and I said, hey, Ryan, would you just do me a thing? Would you just pray about that? I know you've already said no, but would you just pray about it? 15 years later, he's still here, and he said, I want you to know I've just turned down a better offer because I believe this is where God has called me. You see, I think the prophetic has a way of calling us not only as children, that we become His children, but I think God has a way of reinforcing His call upon our life, what we are to do and what we are to be. So I just want to encourage us that the part of the intention of the prophetic is to call us to understand our destinies, our purposes, God's plans for us, whether it's very simple, a day-to-day instruction you get or some life-changing thing. It could be any of those. God's interested in your life. He's interested in everything about you. And so God does some very, very simple things that we sort of pass off as, yeah, well, that was great. And He does some life-changing things. All of them, I believe, is God continually inviting us into a journey to glory. Okay? What I want us to do is I don't want to talk a lot tonight. I will, but I want us to pair off with somebody here. Just take a sort of a 5-minute break here. All of you know the prophetic stuff, I think. You're probably none of you here who've never, you've been through listening to people who are far greater than I am. I know because I've come here to listen to some prophetic people who've been here. John Mark Poole and people like that. You know, you've had some great teaching. So I just want to encourage you in the prophetic. So What I'd like you to do is just to pair off with somebody, not your spouse, but and I want just to, you to ask God to give you a scripture verse for the person you're paired with, and then go beyond that and say, okay, God, what is it about this verse? What specifically are you wanting to encourage in their life or to use in their life in some way? So very simple. Pair off with somebody. Ask God to reveal a scripture verse. Just take the first one that comes to your mind. All scripture is good, right? So just take the first one that comes to your mind that God gives you, and then ask God, what is it about this verse that could encourage or build up the person you're praying with? So let's take just a couple minutes here and pair off with somebody. Is that clear? It's a very simple exercise. I just want to either to pair off with somebody. Okay, go ahead. Well, the Bible has a lot of good things in it, and I think when we invite the Holy Spirit to give us a word, and He does that, we simply ask, and I think that's really important. Okay, so Brother John asked me to give you a definition of the prophetic. And you can write these things out, but let me just ask you, does anybody here, what does prophetic, when I use the word prophetic, what does that mean for you? Just call that.
God's word for the hour.
God's word for the hour. Okay, so speaking forth God's word. Okay. Okay, yeah. Does that meet your definition? I know you're a walking dictionary, but... Well, yeah, and there are different, but I believe when we talk about the prophetic, we're talking about God's word, God's will, God's purposes, and what I'm using tonight is primarily about God's purposes, that when God speaks, that word is eternal. In other words, one of the reasons we use the Bible and everybody has agreed on the scripture is that we believe when God speaks, that word is living. It continues. In other words, it continues for generations, eternally. And so what God said, we can depend on to be absolutely true because the Bible says He sustains His word. So God doesn't speak one thing today and then say, oh yeah, well, the circumstances have changed, therefore I'm going to speak another word. When God speaks, that word is good. I think it's really important for us to recognize that. Okay. Yes.
Lord would say, I have a word for you for like your life, what you're going to do in the future or whatever, where you're going to go, what the conference will happen.
Okay.
How is that related to the prophecy?
Well, I think when somebody gives you a prophetic word, it is a picture, either verbally or otherwise, of something God wants for you. So what do you do with that? Well, I think the Bible says you test that. You examine it. In other words, is it contrary to what Scripture says? Is it something that you relate to? Does it, I don't know, I hate the word quicken because I never know what it means. But does something happen in your spirit that resonates with it? Yeah, witness is a better word, yeah. Now, we have to be careful because I didn't come here tonight to talk about this, but we tend to desire things, okay? And so if you look at our culture, if you look at fortune telling and readers and all that stuff, the new age, or the old age, whichever you want to call it, One of the things they do, people are asking about finances and about who they're supposed to date or marry, all this stuff. We want to know information. We want to know the future. I believe God does that sometimes, but I think God's words primarily focus on His desires for us, His purposes for us. So when somebody speaks a word to you, I think God is using that to encourage you and to strengthen you in the inner person. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't do words that are predictive. I'm not saying that at all. Tonight we're really not talking about the office of a prophet. We're talking more about our desire to be prophetic people. Does that make sense? So I think a prophet can come in here and give a word that is instructive, directional. I'm not there. All I'm saying is I think we are called to be a prophetic people, all of us, not just the prophets. I think we're supposed to work. I believe the fivefold ministry is really effective. All I'm saying tonight is that one verse, earnestly desire the prophetic. Earnestly desire to prophesy. It's for all of us. So that's really where I'm at. I just wanted us to desire this, to seek it, to want it more.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
Here in verse 3,
yes.
It says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily we're looking into the future in that sense.
Yes.
But it's actually ministration to fellow believers, but then, like you're saying, that mm-hmm. of course you can reach out
yeah.
even to unbelievers.
Yeah.
So I believe so. It has to meet, in some way, it has to meet those
right.
general edification,
yeah.
exhortation, and comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And if it, like you were saying, check it out. So
yeah.
if it brings confusion,
right.
You know, but you know, I mean, obviously, you could pray about whatever
sure.
someone would say. But I know for myself, if I feel like I'm supposed to prophesy, right away fear sets in.
Mm-hmm.
I might say the wrong thing, you know. And so you have to be somewhat not bold, but
yeah.
I mean, able to overcome that fear, because you know someone would think you're really goofy. But it would have to get into that area there of edification, not necessarily okay. I'm going to tell you this because you're a rotten person. I'm going to straighten
yeah,
you out.
Yeah.
That's not it. So
mm-hmm.
I believe it in some way has to hit those three.
Sure. Yeah. It's
outlines.
It's there to encourage, to build up, to strengthen. Just a minute, Pastor Mel. Just talk about your fear a little bit. I think that's important.
Well, if you come from a background of real sin, right away, it seems like you, either your flesh or the enemy would say to you, "Oh, you're not good enough. Look,
mm-hmm.
that other person at the church—they're much better. I mean,
yeah,
they're
yeah.
better educated. You see what I'm saying?
So mm-hmm.
That's how it would.
Yeah.
That's how it would come to be. That
mm-hmm.
you're too sinful in the past. You couldn't possibly be used by God.
Yeah, I think that's very important. That's a key principle. I hope we hear that. Oftentimes we get a word, but we're afraid to step into it. And so I don't know if I can help you overcome your fear, okay? But just remember, that's not from God, okay? But there is something called the Kleenex principle. What I think you know this principle well enough, so I don't have to pull a bunch of these out. But if I would pull on this one, what would happen? Another one would come out, right? So isn't this what you're saying? When you overcome your fear and you give a word, what happens? You get more. Yeah, okay. So just remember that. It's called the Kleenex principle. Oftentimes you have to speak what you have in order to get more. Now, you shouldn't give more than what you got or what you get, but there is a sense that the in the prophetic, there is this idea that as you speak, God will give, it'll bubble up from inside. God will give you more. And that requires us to overcome fear.
what the prophetic is. There's a verse in Romans that talks about speak those things that are not as though they were. So mm-hmm. I think when you talked about when we give words to people or we look at people and when you give that encouraging word or you look at somebody, you see them through Christ's eyes rather than through their sin, so you're really calling them into being, like you don't see it now, but you're calling that identity or whatever it is into being as though it already is, because that's part of what the prophetic is doing. And whether that's predictive or just encouragement or whatever form it takes, it's calling us into where God wants us to be, not maybe what we see here and now.
Go. Okay.
But Brother Ray, could you speak into that preparing, that preparation that needs to go on, desiring? You know, can we be at that place 24/7? And how can we position ourselves to be there, to be the true prophetic people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you look at your outline, there's I haven't even got there yet. But that's, you know, my thought was that how do we desire? How do we desire? So the first one there is really to believe that the prophetic is real. I run into a lot of people who don't believe the prophetic is real. You've heard stories of people who faked it and all this. And so we have this doubt because we are so horizontal. We believe in the material, what we can see and touch.
So they don't believe that God speaks to them.
Yeah. Yeah, or we don't believe that that God really speaks, or we especially don't believe that God could speak through somebody else. That's really difficult for us. So, like I said, God's been working on me. So let me just tell you a story. And June 9th, that's 2 months ago, we had some prophetic training with Joan Huth, as a wonderful person, and she gave me a word. It's a whole sheet. But let me just give you part of it. Part of it was she said that there was somebody who was going to come and that I had prayed for recently. Somebody I had prayed for recently is going to come to me, tell me a testimony that would encourage me. It's a very simple word, right? So the revelation is somebody I prayed for is going to come to me and share a testimony. I think the interpretation, that I think all prophetic words get interpreted, and I think this is important, the interpretation was it was going to encourage me and it was going to give me hope. Okay. So Saturday night, we're at a birthday party. It's in the community. Just a community birthday party. We had just come back from Baltimore. I was tired. I said, well, we don't have to go to this. But we should just show up and just, you know, how you show your face and then leave. And there was a bunch of people there, probably 100 plus, and we showed up and we didn't even get up to the food yet. We're just sort of, you know, talking to some people we knew. And this lady who I did not know came up to me, and she said, "You're Pastor Ray." I goes, "Yeah." She said, "Do you remember who I am?" I go, "I don't have a clue." And she said, "Well, back in February, you prayed for me, and you gave me a word that I didn't like myself. I didn't love myself. And you told me that God loves you. You prayed for me." And I'm thinking, and nothing happened. you know, if you don't really believe that the prophetic is real, sometimes you pray for people and you think, well, okay, bless you, and that's it. She said, "Well, nothing happened." I go, "Yeah, I know that." And I remember that because my daughter Amy was with me. And so, you know, you want to encourage your daughter and everything, but we prayed for this lady, nothing happens. And she said, "Well, that night after midnight, I woke up." And she said the room was just filled with this warmth, wonderful feeling. presence of God. And she said, it was like in me, but it was in the room as well. It was just a wonderful feeling. I sat up in bed and I said, I love myself. And I'm going, awesome. Now, here's what I believe. That was there. You know, I had the prophetic word from Joan that I was going to get this testimony. It was going to encourage me. And it was going to give hope. I think the hope is for you. The timing was just Saturday night. Guess what? I got to use it in my sermon Sunday. I was preaching Mount Joy in some place I normally don't preach. And so I got to give it to them because my sermon there was on the kingdom. The kingdom is real. And I go, hey, this is a fresh word. It'll preach. Okay? But I think it's for us as well that God just uses us in ways that we don't know. And this lady who didn't love herself, actually we had met her because I was trying to introduce my daughter to another person, and that other person wasn't there where she was supposed to be, and we met this lady instead. You know, it's like a God thing all over. So I just want to say that I think God is always encouraging us. He wants to build us up. That's what the prophetic is all about, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us to see zero. So the first thing, I think when you talk about desire, is just to know, hey, this is real stuff, and then you want more of it, okay? So then the second thing on your outline is to ask. Just to ask God. Okay, so I'm coming to Grace Chapel, and I'm really going, God, I need something. Can you give me something? So I'm out for a walk, and my walks are very routine. I go out my door, I turn to the right, I go down to the park, go through the park. There's a bench there that I always sit on because I'm tired when I get there. It's sort of uphill. It's at the top of the hill, and by the time I get there, I'm sort of puffing. I sit down and sort of get my heart rate down so I can make the sprint to home, okay? By sprint, I'm not running, okay? So the other night I go out and I just said, Father, I'd love to have, what do you want me to do at Grace Chapel? Can you give me a word? So I'm going to give you the word he gave for me. It's a little long, so hold on to it. But I think you'll see it as it goes through, where it comes from. And it's just... I think this came from God. I think it's for you. I think that because I asked him for a word for you, I got this. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If it makes sense to you, fine. If it doesn't, what do you do with it? Okay. Hold on to what's good. Okay, so here we go. Here's what I got. Walk before me. Walk before me. I've asked you to come follow me. Now I'm asking you to walk before me. It's not been this way before. Always I have taken the lead. You only had to follow me. That is what I called you to do. But now there is this word, walk before me. Go on ahead of me. You have stepped out in obedience. You are doing what I commanded you. But now there is a storm. Do you see it? The storm is not in the future. The storm is now. You are doing what I ask you to do, and I said, walk before me, and you're doing what I ask you. Be faithful, yet even in your faithfulness, there is a storm. Do you see it? There are stages to a storm. Clouds gather, the wind picks up, the sky darkens to almost pitch dark. The atmosphere is foreboding, but this is not the stage of the storm that you are in. As you look into the storm, you have a faint knowing, but you do not understand what it is in the storm. You see blackness, but you also see light. What is it? Thoughts and ideas flood your mind, and so it's fearful, it's dangerous. Now there is a declaration. It's a ghost. Something from your past is haunting you. You can't get away from it. There is fear, chaos, despair, and a release of a panic cry. Though the fear comes, through the fear comes a knowing. It's Jesus. Do you see him in the storm? Are you sure that it's him? How can you be sure that it's him? Apparitions happen. Strange things occur. We want to be sure it's him. How can we know? Yes, you see and feel the storm, but do you hear the voice? Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Yes, it is the I am. I am the Lord of the storm. Now do you remember? You have voice recognition. The sound of his voice is the only way you can be sure to know him. His sheep hear his voice and follow him. They never follow a stranger. In fact, they run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Lord, if this is you, if this is of you, I want more. I want to experience all that you have for me. I want to do what you are doing and experience all that you have. If it's really you in the storm, tell me to come. Do you hear it? Come. Do you really hear it? There are other voices, voices of reason and caution and commands. Don't do it. Stay here. Don't step out. But you know the voice. You want more. You desire more. In the storm, you are stepping out of the safe place. It is not based on reason or feeling, but on the word of the Lord. Come. Yes, now do you see? There are stages in the storm, but this is not a stage. This is the storm now. The storm is all around you. What are you thinking? You see waves? You see the wind? You are in the storm. You are walking toward him, but you are sinking. What do you see? What do you feel? You are terrified. Fear enfolds you like the waves. The storm is not out there. The storm is in you. You can feel it, and it seems so real. I'm going down. All you can do is cry out, Lord, save me. Yes, now while the storm rages within, Jesus is reaching out. He is taking hold of you. He has given you a solid place to stand. You are in a safe place standing on absolutely nothing but the Savior's power. Nothing has changed outside. The storm, the wind, and the waves are the same. The storm is now. You sense Jesus holding you and everything changes inside of you. The Lord of the storm is holding you. You hear his voice. Have faith. Don't doubt, only believe. You're walking before him now. Inside you, the storm is over. The wind is still blowing. The waves are still churning. It seems so simple with his hand holding you. The storm is now. You are in the storm, but now the storm is not in you. Now you just do what he does. He climbs in the boat, and you do the same. You are in a storm. Take courage. Jesus is Lord of the storm. In the storm, trust him. Walk before him. Do what you have been asked to do. Go for more. Exercise your faith. Do what Jesus is calling you to do. Step out. Listen to his voice alone. Even if it looks like you are sinking, know that there is a safe place in him. Don't be afraid. The question is not, is there a storm? But is the storm in you? Only in the storm can the storm be calmed in you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Okay, now, I got that when I was walking. Just let me tell you something. I always sit in the park bench, halfway around. When I got this word, I was just walking, just listening, and I realized I'm way past the park bench. Okay, so it's sort of a long word. It's not typical for me. Often I'll get one word, two words, or phrase. But you can, as it went through there, you knew it was based on Matthew 22. It's Jesus walking on the water. And what I like about, you know, and I went back and read the passage, Jesus dismisses the crowds. And I'm going, why would you do that? Come on, man. We work really hard for crowds. You get a crowd, you work the crowd, right? You don't dismiss it. Jesus dismisses the crowd. He says, okay, he called them to follow him, right? But what he said was, you go on ahead. I'm going to stay here. You go on ahead. You're on your own. And then the storm comes up. And they're like freaking out. And the storm's inside of them. And Jesus comes along, and when Peter steps out, he's looking for more. And I just think that's what God's saying to you. Look for more. Step out. Get out there. Because that's where Jesus is. Okay? So sometimes the storm is not just out there. The storm is inside. But we can trust him if we're following his voice. Okay. So, let's just pause there. That's God gave it to me. I give it to you. I don't know what you do with that. But I just wanted to give an opportunity. Does anybody else here say, I have a word? Does anybody else have sense that God's speaking to?
I'd just like to confirm what that okay. phrase, I am in the storm. I am in the storm, but the storm is not in me. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Kind of goes along with that verse in Psalms 23 where it says, he prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Yeah.
You know, it's like someone said it was like having a picnic in the battlefield.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of yeah. stuck with me, but it kind of goes
yeah.
along with that.
Okay. Very good. Okay.
It's very interesting, Brother Ray. This morning there were about 40 of us at the Gospel Reflections, and we were talking about that very scripture.
Oh, really?
And, you know, how that the folks in the boat thought it was a ghost. They
yeah.
cried out.
Yeah.
And then Jesus said, it is I, be not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Peter, he said, if it's you, bid me to come. He said, come. And then when he starts sinking, he cried out.
Yeah.
And when we cry out, I believe he puts us in storms, so we cry
mm-hmm.
out.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what I sense the Lord saying to me.
Mm-hmm.
I need to cry out more.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
Try to say how I can take care of it.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I think if you read that story, and Peter says, if it's you, tell me to come. That only makes sense if you understand Peter can recognize Jesus' voice. And I think in new technology, we talk a lot about voice recognition. But Peter understood that. You know, if it's you, tell me to come. I'll understand it's your voice. I think we are in, you know, not just Grace Chapel. I think all of us are in a storm. We've got to learn to hear that voice and recognize the voice of Jesus.
That again?
How did he hear the voice over the howling wind?
I think there are always other voices, other noises. There's always this confusion. But if you think about it as a kid, you know, when your mother spoke, you recognize it, right? I think we live in a time where there's all kinds of voices and noises and everything, but we've got to learn to tune in to the voice of Jesus. I think that's when you desire the prophetic. I think you're saying, Lord, I want to hear you.
Right. Oh, you're talking about that verse. There's places in the King James that the if can also be translated since.
Yeah.
So he was really saying since it's you.
Yeah.
It wasn't a question.
Okay.
Maybe it is or it wasn't. It could have been a demon out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it could have been the ghost. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And he had spoken to that time. He had said, you know, it's me. I think the I am is good. Okay. Very good. Okay. I think, you know, I have more on the outline. I haven't even started my notes yet. But what I'd like to do is, Kim, if you're willing. Okay, I would like Kim to come. And I want us to just pray and use her as sort of a guinea pig. Okay, is that okay?
Sure.
And one of the reasons I'm picking Kim is for, we've been talking about the prophetic, but also I don't think you know her really, really well, so that there's some unknown here. But also I think she is mature enough to be able to say, yeah, that word fits me or it doesn't. I think she'll be comfortable doing that. So what I'd like to do is just pray and ask God for a word, for a prophetic word for Kim. Okay, she's going to come, and we'll just pray and ask God for a prophetic word, and then I want you to feel free just to give what you receive. In other words, we're asked. This is, you know, if you want a prophetic word, you desire, ask for it. God's going to give you something. Give it, and we'll just see how that works. Just a little exercise. Yeah, it could be a picture, it could be a word, it could be a phrase, it could be a scripture, whatever. Yes. So if you would just come, and if you want to give her the mic, that might work okay. Or actually, maybe you could just be the runner here, and we'll ask people. So let's. Just hang on. That might work. Okay. Let's just pray and ask God to give us a word for Kim. And we'll just practice on this. I think, you know, if you desire something, you've got to give God an opportunity to do it. Okay. So, Father, tonight we come to you just as your children, and we're asking that you would give us a word for our sister Kim. Lord, I pray that you'd bring into our spirit, our minds, our hearts, a picture, a word of encouragement, something that would speak to Kim. And I just pray this, that each of us would receive a download from you. So, Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would come. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
I heard the word joy and then saw a picture of a fountain just bubbling, continuously bubbling over. And I think that's something that God just wants to really do for you. Like, you have joy, but God wants to really infuse that and make that like the fountain just overflowing.
Is that something you want?
Absolutely. Okay. As soon as he asked us to pray, I saw a coat, just a coat, and I didn't understand that. I mean, it was a lady's coat, of course. And I asked the Lord what the coat's all about, and all I got was that he is covering you and he's clothing you in the coat of righteousness.
Hmm. Sure.
In my devotional today, it said that he was putting on a coat of righteousness on me. So that word is very spot on today, very to this evening before I came here. I pictured myself coming here with that coat on. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that word.
Now, I never met you before, and when you stood up there, what I saw in you was strength. Strength. You possess strength.
That's a confirmation of the word I can speak when we got the scripture.
Okay.
That I will walk in strength. Thank you. I am married.
Turn things around back and forth in our language, in our way we word things. And this spirit of confusion is dividing the church. That every woman needs to know, you especially, so you know where you are seated in the Christ, that you are the man with the womb. Don't get it out of order. Don't get it out of context. Don't try to climb above. Get in line. We all do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Okay. Annette?
Start the day with just bang, start the day. You know, bright sunshine, and you just get up and this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Thumbs up. And be glad in it. Yeah. Awesome. I like that too.
Anybody else?
You know, I just am so thankful, Kim, that you are standing in this position. And there's an activation going on, and what I sense, you have a longing in your heart to see people fulfill their giftings and graces and anointings. And I just feel that because of your willingness, that as you go forth, there's going to be an activation coming out of you. That wow, you're going to be amazed at what's going to start happening. The things that you'd longed for are coming to pass. The things that you've been crying out for are happening.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. And hopefully you're longing for the prophetic.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. That's what I'll say. He spoke through those of you who spoke. I receive it all. God is good.
Okay. So was this so bad?
Oh, no. Not at all. Not at all.
So I asked her to be the guinea pig, but really, I think it's a way that God blesses her. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that this was a time of encouragement, and you know, just from your demeanor, I think there's some of those words that, wow. So I think what the coming church is going to look like is going to be prophetic, and we need to develop a prophetic culture. Okay? We need to understand that the world has a culture that's based on the knowledge of good and evil. And we affirm some things that don't need affirmed, but we, you know, it's, you know, the world just is always judging. This is good, this is bad. I think the prophetic culture says, what is God doing? What's His purposes? What's His plans? And so we ask Him for that. We seek that. We believe that God is always, not only in the past, in the present, in the future. So God knows everything. And we're simply looking into God's heart, and we're saying, what is your heart for this person or for this group? Okay? So we're looking into the future. We're saying, God, what is it? What is your purposes? And that can really encourage and build up people. Okay, so the four things I gave you, we've talked about two of them, is believe that it's real, ask for it, which we sort of demonstrated that. The last two I'm not going to talk about because we don't have time, but to learn. In other words, if you desire the prophetic, one of the things you do is you get around where the prophetic's being talked about, where it's being taught, where you can learn. So just be in a learning mode. And then the fourth one is just this idea of expect. You just expect the prophetic. Expect God to give you insight. Just ask Him for it as you ask. Believe that He's going to answer you. So talk to God. Say, I'm here. I want to learn. I want to know more about who you are. I want to know more about your thoughts and your plans, your ideas. God has this wonderful way of revealing His thoughts to us. The Old Testament says, your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And yet in the New Testament, God wants us to have the mind of Christ. Well, He wants us to think His thoughts, to have His thoughts. How does that happen? Not on our own. It only comes by inviting the Lord to give us. So become a learner, ask Him to download stuff to you, and then expect Him to do so. Okay. Let's just thank the Lord for what He's done. If you have questions, I haven't taught any of my notes tonight.
Pastor Ray, can I ask a real quick question?
Sure.
I'm reminded that Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all.
Yeah.
And then it also says pray without ceasing. So is this kind of go hand in glove with waiting on the Lord, setting special time every mm-hmm. day or as often as you can?
Yeah.
So I don't think that the Spirit of just kind of drops on. I believe you have to be. There has to be communication.
Mm-hmm.
And it always interests me when Paul said, "I pray in the Spirit. I pray in tongues more than you all." So
yeah.
There's a key there somewhere. I'm not sure
yeah.
how it all
yeah.
fits.
That is a very good word. And notice this passage. It really starts with talking about speaking in tongues. And say, well, I want you all to speak in tongues, but I'd rather that in the congregation that you give the prophetic word, because that edifies. What does speaking in tongues do? It edifies the person. So I think if you want to build yourself up, you need to speak in tongues. I think that's the purpose of the gift. And everything I've read, I grew up where you didn't think about tongues, you didn't speak in tongues, you didn't do anything like that. That stuff, you don't think about. But it's, then you have the Apostle Paul. Now we're talking about the Apostle Paul, right? He said, I want you to speak in tongues. So yeah, I think it's something we should desire and do. I think there are some wonderful books out there on the purposes of tongues and how you build yourself up. So if you want to prophesy, I think that's one of the things you do. You pray in tongues. You spend time seeking. Now, all we're talking about tonight is desire. So if you desire the prophetic, what do? Speak in tongues. I think that's important.
Are you talking about at the prayer line?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now, I think there's, and Apostle Paul would say, there's a proper place. If you speak in tongues in the church and it's translated or interpreted, bingo, you're edifying the church. That's part of the purposes of God. That's wonderful. I think what he's talking about is that you're just scaring everybody by praying in tongues and nobody knows what's going on. People come in. Now notice, I didn't get to it tonight. One of the verses, it's in 1 Corinthians 14, is that if you prophesy to somebody, to an unbeliever, they're going to fall down and say, God's among you. In other words, it's real. This God is real because he can tell me things that you wouldn't possibly know. And I think that's powerful. We haven't got to that part of it because we've just been more on the encouraging thing tonight. But I just want to encourage you to desire it. This is what the Bible says. Desire the prophetic because it has a powerful way of encouraging and building up and bringing comfort to people. I've just given you an example. 2 months ago, I got this prophetic word. It happened. Somebody walked in my life and said, hey, do you remember you prayed for me? And I go, wow, something happened. So what's God doing with that? I think he's just encouraging us and building us up. Okay.
The desire comes through love.
Yeah.
I can think of a time when a man was very seriously injured, hurt, not physically, but spiritually. spiritually in the church. And just out of a love for wanting to comfort him, I heard the Lord say, tell him he has the heart of David.
Mm.
And when I said that, the tears just began to flow, and it was encouraging to him because he said that has been his prayer, that he would have the heart of David.
Yeah.
So it, prophecy, speaking forth God's word, doesn't have to be for the future. It can be for right now.
Exactly.
Or many of you, well, some of you here remember Grace Chapel over in Derry Street. And when Ken was up at our church years ago, this goes way back before we ever came over here to Grace Chapel, we were going up there in Derry Street, and he had told the Lord, I can't sing, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't do this, can't do that, but I can work with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick Mills was there. And he came to Ken and said, the work that you will begin with your hands, you will complete with your hands. He didn't know him from Adam.
Yeah.
But that was a prophetic word of comfort, you know, from something that happened in the past.
Great example. Okay. So, I would just encourage you to believe that prophetic is real. It's for today. I would encourage you to ask God just to give you prophetic insight. It may happen in very simple ways. Just put yourself in a learning mode, whether that means going to a conference or if you just wake up in the morning and say, Father, I'm going to follow you. I want to hear from you, and just have the Holy Spirit teach you. That's what Jesus promised. The Holy Spirit would be our teacher. So be a learner, and then just expect it to happen. Just operate in faith and belief. And remember the Kleenex principle. When you get that impression, I didn't teach anything about words of knowledge or the prophetic in terms, but it's those impressions that come to our body or our mind, our spirit, those little whispers that we hear, step out, trust them. You should be surprised at what God will do with them. So, bless you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your words of encouragement to us, the words that build us up, that give us strength on the inner person. Lord, we live in a generation where people do not know you in general. There's a lot of naysayers about that the time has passed and now we have to be realistic and look at what's real, what's in front of us. But Father, you created us with a spirit and you speak to us. And you desire for us to worship you in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, I pray that you would give to us downloads in our spirit that would encourage and build us up and strengthen us so that we would be the now church for the now generation. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. This has been good. Can you say amen? Now, what are you going to be teaching next week, sir? What are you going to be teaching next week?
Whatever God tells me. No, what I put in your bulletin, what I gave you, was we'd talk about healthy prophetic attitudes.
Healthy prophetic attitudes.
And so I think it's a matter of saying, whenever God gives us, how do we treat it? How do we look at the prophetic? How do we deal with it, both when we give it and when we receive it? And just good, healthy attitudes.
Yeah, I have some questions, and I know we all have. I want you to write down your questions, and maybe we can give it to Ray, your brother Ray here, for next week. Or you can email me. I have an email. You can email me these questions and get over to him, and you can do that. We want to have a little offering for brother Ray, and so if you want to, whatever the Holy Spirit might give you, to put in for the chicken, if you could pass that around, I'd appreciate it very much. And I was just thinking, my little two-year-old is prophesying already. I can't believe it. He was very afraid of getting on the tractor with Papa. And so he wouldn't even get the small riding tractor, you know, too. But a miracle happened here here on Saturday. I think it was, wasn't it, honey? We had opportunity to have him,
and for a couple hours, and we were driving the big tractor here at the church to move some things around. And he sat on Lori's lap, and he sat on my lap. He said, a miracle is happening. And it was a miracle. And then today, I tell you what, I wonder what would really happen if every one of us tomorrow, and I think we this is the homework you're giving to us, you know. Let's get up tomorrow and say, Lord, help us to speak something to someone. And just see what the Holy Spirit might do in that. Because today I had the opportunity to talk to someone, and things just start coming. And I just start talking, and everyone in the room start crying. I said, wow. You know, because it ministered to them right where they were at. And man, if we would do this in our homes, then why not? Let's be prophetic homes. Amen. And let's see what the Lord will do tomorrow. So thank you. God bless you. Tomorrow we have a 100-year-old funeral. I mean, a funeral of a 100-year-old Sister Marie Miller. And never have I had balloons at funerals. She wants balloons at her funeral. And so she wants us to celebrate. So that's it. Viewing the family at 10 o'clock and then the service at 11 o'clock. And so we invite anybody to join us in that balloon memorial service for Sister Marie Miller. Wow, what an honor. So God bless you. Go in the name of the Lord.